But then it's like the Apostle Paul is contradicting himself. Because he's told us that God has revealed them, and that is to his apostle, and his apostle passed them on to us. And here again we get the idea that the will of God going to be known by the children of God who are interested in knowing God's will. Lot. I like Lot, and I like to discuss Lot. Lot, from all of heaven's account, from all of heaven's testimony about this man, Lot was a righteous man. Again and again, I bring to your attention, and one of the reasons I do this is that if ever you meet a person, whoever, that want to cast negativism, doubts, evil, unlock, because of the choice Lot made when Abraham said to Lot, "Separate yourself from me." There is no need to be any quarrel between us or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. Separate. Over and over, from preaching, from commentary, I've been told, and I'm tired to hear it, that Lot made a selfish, inconsiderate choice. Whenever you find a person who believes that, I would like to talk to that person, truly, preacher, elder, angel. Why? Because, you see, in too many cases and too often, we are not satisfied and content with the Almighty God's account and God's verdict. We ought to be satisfied with God's verdict on any person. A very important point came up Wednesday night that, as I promised, I'll be making some comment on it. Hopefully the very time we begin Wednesday night coming, if God is willing. And that is, when the Almighty God, through His inspired word, make a comment, positive comment, complimentary comment, on any godly character in the Bible, don't ever assume that the Almighty God is not cognizant of that person's failure. Or that God just push under the rug that person's sin. No. In fact, as I said, Wednesday night we'll comment more. I think it was either Brother Peart, Brother Webb, or one of you that, you know. So it's not that Lot. I'm not here saying that Lot was sinless. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. And you know what? Another thing. There is not one place in the entire Bible. I'm not usually that dogmatic, talk about the entire Bible. But in this case, I cannot find one place where the Almighty God indicates that Lot made a wrong, selfish, inconsiderate, greedy choice when he chose where he chose. In fact, I can tell you, one of the reasons I usually bring this up when I'm passing over Lot is the fact that I was almost pushed many years ago to make a study, a biblical geographical study of the entire area. And realized that the entire area was the area that the Almighty God promised to Abraham. And that the entire area was so good that Lot could have chosen anywhere he wanted, and Abraham was still left with good land. It's not a case where Lot chose the choicest part and left the riffraff for Abraham. But that's the idea, men and women, theologians. I don't know why we are so anxious to show our righteousness above God's word. We must be satisfied and be content with God's account and God's view. Look at Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11.
Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other.
Remember, it was Abraham who encouraged him to separate himself. Why? Both men were blessed by God. Lot's sheep and cows were being multiplied. Abraham, who was uncle to Lot, was experiencing the same material increase. Their shepherds who took care of their flock were having regular quarrels. Abram, the older and wiser man, said, "This need not be. Let us separate. The land, the place is big enough. We need not have quarrel over this." That's what happened here. But man wants to appear wiser and more righteous than God. So I'm still on the point. If you ever find somebody who tells how Lot was selfish in choosing the better land and leaving the riffraff for Abram, bring that person to me. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Peter.
And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy...
Now, here, the Almighty God is commenting on the place that Lot chose. The concept is that Lot suffered what he suffered in Sodom and Gomorrah because of his selfish and greedy choice. For some reason or the other, God didn't see it like that. In fact, I should have told you from this morning and just now as I was about to say something, it came to me that I should have shared with you this morning that Brother Roosevelt Wells passed, one of our great preachers. He has done at least 2 gospel meetings here for us. The congregation that he used to preach in Pontiac, Michigan, they helped me when I was going to college. That's the same congregation that Brother Holt preached for when he worked there in Pontiac, Michigan, close to Detroit. Brother Roosevelt Wells died a few days ago, and God blessed him with a long life. I don't know exactly his age. I know he was up in age, you know. Yes. So I get back to the point and why Brother Roosevelt Wells came to me. When Brother Roosevelt Wells, you know, I'm talking about people say, well, it's like Lot got what was coming to him in Sodom. Why did he choose deer? Well, it's a blessed thing that the man chose deer. And this is why Roosevelt Wells just came to my mind just now. Because when Roosevelt Wells left Pontiac, Michigan, he went to Harlem. I was at that time a student in either Texas or Michigan, I think is when I left to Texas, and heard that he has left Pontiac. And at that time, Roosevelt Wells could get some of our largest congregation to preach for. But he chose to go and establish a work, a new work in Harlem. Now, at that time, when you read about American gangsters, especially gangsters among the black, Harlem was the place. And that he chose to go right in the midst and establish a work and brought about a well-stable congregation that he retired from, and a functioning congregation. Now, so when a person would cast doubt on Lot's character because he made a choice that put him close to Sodom and Gomorrah, the passage the brother is reading here, I would say, if there were something bad and negative to say about Lot, this would have been an appropriate place for heaven to say. But listen what heaven says about the man's choice. Read. Start again. 2. Verse 7.
And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8. For the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day.
You'll notice what I notice? In the two verses, all that are being said about where the man lived, Sodom and Gomorrah, this is the place he chose when he left from Abram. All that these two verses are saying are just pluses, good things from heaven about Lot. Just pure good things. The sin and the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah was not normal sin. Our common sin of humanity. It was abnormal and unnatural sin. In fact, it was below the brute beast. That it was the sin of same-sex relationship. The sin of homosexuality. That was the sin. That was not normal sin. In fact, there's a verse that you and I read all the time when God was describing it. That it's important that we understand what that verse is saying. It is Genesis 18 and verse 20 and 21. Let us hear it. But Brother Mitchell, I thought you said you are preaching about God's care and guidance for His people. I've not forgotten. That's what I promise. And we are getting to that. In fact, that we touch love. That we touch love. That's what it's about. How the Almighty God, beyond our knowledge, unknown to us, will be looking out for our welfare, our guidance, our protection. Unknown to us. Can you? Well, let me ask that question in a few minutes hereafter. Let us hear the passage.
And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it.
May I? Notice the verse again. I'm going to ask. And the Lord God of heaven said,
because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great.
Now, this is not a cry of prayer. Truly. The cry here is the cry of sin. It's their doing, their wrongdoing, cry out to God. So the cry here is not prayer. It's their ungodliness. And here we have the Almighty God saying, I will go down and see. But Brother Mitchell, the Almighty God have to leave where he is? No, this is what we call anthropomorphic expression, where the Almighty God takes on human tendency. And why he does that here? To show his justice and his righteousness. What is being demonstrated in the statement, I will go down and see, is the concept that God will not punish until he has investigated to make sure that the reason for punishment is really there. That's the concept here. Is that God takes on human personality so as to express and to show his justice and his righteousness. I will go down and see. Verse 21.
I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it.
That verse 21 is very important. Whether they have done altogether. That looks like it leaves us hanging. Remember, I told you that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not the normal common sin of humanity. It was abnormal sin. And that the Almighty God has always seen same-sex relationship as such. But somebody said, Brother Mitchell, God get madder now. He will never get that modern, that his concept of unnatural sin, abnormal sin, begin to look natural. Never. Whether they have done all together, that statement in Hebrew literally means whether they have made completion. But Brother Mitchell, we are still in darkness. Completion of what? Whether they have taken their sin to the ultimate level. Whether they have carried their sins to its perfection. That is, whether they have carried sin to such a point that men and women cannot become more sinful. And this is telling us just that statement. It is unfortunate that the King James did not give us the meaning of the whether they have done all together. Whether it is unfortunate that the King James translator did not carry that out in what it really means and implies. Because the way the King James worded it, you are left to guess what that all together means. And it is in reference to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, whether they have taken their sin to the highest height or to the highest pitch of wickedness. And what this statement is implying is that you cannot take sin higher or worse than what we now proudly talk about same-sex relationship. And it is the man's or the woman's preference. Sin cannot be taken worse. In fact, as I've said, when man takes sin to that stage, we sink lower than the animal. Are we there? Whether they have consummated their sin. That's the meaning of this, whether they have done all together. And keep that in mind, because that simple statement that we are left in doubt, by the way, the King James, I must check it out from the Amplified another. We are left in dark by the way the King James translator translated. That simple statement is pointing out the utter sinfulness of what we today, modern people, call same-sex relationship. Verse 15 and 16 of the passage of Genesis 18. Chapter 19. Verse 15.
And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while
may I? I announce at the beginning that the lesson is about God's care and guidance for his children. And this is a fact. I know many of us would be glad if when things going to go wrong for us, God sent an angel at our bedside. We would not forget that experience. But that's not going to happen. But what you must realize is that God is still working for you if you are a true child of God. In this case, this is a miracle. God is working providentially as effectively today as he did for Lot. Lot didn't know the destruction that was set for Sodom. Lot had no idea. But God knew that the days of Sodom and Gomorrah was numbered. And here God, in making provision for his great servant Lot, sent angel. My God, what quality servant to have at our disposal. Wait. Angel might still be serving your purpose and my purpose today. But they are not going to make themselves known. That's right. What the verse says, brother?
And when morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And while he lingered,
oh Lord, the lingering is natural. Can you imagine the emotional tie that this man and his family had to this city? They have been living here for many years. So this lingering is natural. Not only that, can you imagine the sadness? They have put down root in Sodom and Gomorrah. And now suddenly, it's not like the Almighty God gave them a month's notice like our landlord would do. It's not like the Almighty God gave them 6 months' notice. Lot, you have 6 months to leave this place. The angel was right there and said to Lot, come. This city is marked for destruction. We want to save you from it. And what about my nice furniture? I just take out some at court yesterday. Lot, you don't have time to take out your furniture. What about our sheep and cows and the barn closed now? No, you don't have any time. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the sadness? But it was for their own ultimate good. All that they thought they would be leaving behind are what they thought they have lost. The Almighty God overnight could have provided that. And so it is for us. That was 15 and 16.
16, not complete. And while he lingered, the men hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters,
mm-hmm.
the Lord being merciful unto him.
What a great statement. Don't we need God's mercy in so many situations? Remember, the Lord God gives more grace to the humble. The Almighty God could have gotten vexed and the angel and said, man, stop the foolishness. No. God understood that Lot's heart was true to him, to the Almighty God, and that it's natural for him to feel an emotional tie to the city. Read, brother.
And they brought him forth and set him without the city.
They put him outside of the city. They have to hold the man's hand and pull him out. Verse 17.
And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain.
Mm-hmm.
Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed.
That's right. Still warning them. Still guiding them. Still protecting them. Still mindful that the tendency is for them to linger. And that's natural. That was verse 17?
Yes.
19.
Behold now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life.
And wait. A true child of God is always a grateful person. Christian, learn that. Christian, don't be so ungrateful that the one or two things you expect in life and you didn't get them, they cause you to forget the 100 things that God has brought in your life. Please, in spite of this man's sorrow, an emotional tie to the city that he has to give up, he and his family, he is giving thanks to the angel for saving his life. We must always be grateful to the Almighty God in a genuine way. That was verse 19. Verse 21.
And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither.
I like this. You get it here? What has happened? Lot asked the angel permission for him and his family to flee to a city far enough away, not so far away. And the angel gave him permission. Read that verse 21 again, I think.
And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken.
What you must gather here is that the Almighty God was making a clean sweep. Not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but surrounding cities. That's the idea you get here. And Lot asks that a particular city be spared and that he be given the permission to go and settle there. And the angel says, okay. That was verse 21.
Yes. Verse 22 now.
Verse 22. That's the verse we are going to end with.
Haste thee. Escape thither.
Escape to the city that you have asked permission to settle in.
For I cannot do anything till thou come thither.
That's a great statement. Oh my God. You know, every time I read this statement, that God will hold his hands to accommodate his children. That's awesome. The angel, in effect, when the angel say, I cannot do anything, I cannot move, I am sent to save you. That's our purpose. And we have to accommodate you. What an awesomeness. We are the Almighty God. You know, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he care for you. You better believe that. Read that again for me, Brother Webb. I like it.
Haste thee. Escape.
You see what is happening? It's like, instead of Lot making giant step to come out, it's like Lot feeling the emotion to the city. You know, slowly. The angel want the man to make his. So the angel says, haste thee.
Yeah. Escape thither.
Escape. Thither means to the place appointed.
For I cannot do anything.
I cannot do anything.
Till thou become thither.
Until you are safe, in effect. What an awesome God. What a caring God. Especially as it relates to his people. Your care, your safety, your protection is our primary duty and concern and responsibility. At present, last our time, and our effort is toward that goal in guiding and protecting you and leading you to safety. We wish you would walk a little faster. So important was this duty of the angel that even the purpose of divine justice on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, wicked city, had to wait could not be carried out until God's servant, watch here, it's not 100 people God was saving. It's not 1,000 people. It's not 1,000,000. Is what? About 4 people? Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters? Yes. We like enough. God will provide guidance, protection, help for one of his people as he can do for 1,000,000 of his people. God cares for you if you are a child of God. Our responsibility is to try daily to get closer to God and to work more committedly for the enhancement of the cause of Christ, for leading souls to Jesus Christ, and for the building up of the body of Christ. If you are here tonight, if you are a child of God who have grown weak and faithful, all that we have just gone through tonight, it demonstrates the care of God for a faithful child, that is. So if you are here and have strayed, backslidden, grown and faithful, there is no better time than now to come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And two, if you are here tonight, if you are not a Christian, don't ever believe that what we have seen God, what he has done for Lot, he does it for everybody. No, sir. All things work together for good for everybody. No, sir. Nowhere in the Bible state that. All things work together for good to them that love God. But it's not finished. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So that passage is telling us that there is a specific group of people that God loves all men and women. So I want to make that plain. God loves you even though you are not a Christian. But the type of care and guidance and protection and provision that God has in store for his people, those are reserved only for God's people. You can become a child of God now as we stand and sing a verse of a song. As Christ called.
276.